A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Another edition, one of my favorite shows, Marquette on the Move. It's National Nursing Month. This one hits a little differently for me. My mom's a nurse, so I grew up seeing each and every day what the job actually looks and feels like. You know, the caring, the long shifts, and the moments that really matter for families, especially with kids. And this year marks 90 years of Marquette University's College of Nursing, the first four-year nursing program in the state of Wisconsin. And that legacy isn't just about like all of the history on campus. It's directly shaping what care, and especially pediatric care, looks like right now in the region, especially at Children's Wisconsin. So today we're going to connect all these dots. We're going to bring it all together. How do you train nurses? How do you support them? What does the future of care look like for kids and families across our region? We have a great group to do that. As always, Dr. Kimo Ayun, the president of Marquette University, joins us. He's also joining the Children's Wisconsin board this month, so there's even deeper synergy between Marquette and Children's. Gil Perry, who's the president and CEO of Children's Wisconsin, will join us. And then Madeline Schmidt from Marquette's College of Nursing will join us to really kind of drill in terms of what students are learning each and every day, and what the undergraduates are doing in places like Children's Hospital during this 90th year of the College of Nursing at Marquette. But you know what we do? At the beginning of each and every show, we do a segment called Two Up.
Up one, two.
Now it's time for the
Two, count 'em, two.
Two Up on the Upswing.
Two Up, these are two things that I'm seeing throughout the week that you really need to know about. You know, business items, community items, kind of keeping you abreast of what's exciting in the marketplace. I always get excited when I see Wisconsin or Milwaukee in the national headlines. Probably a little too much excited, but that's all right. Redfin, you know what Redfin is? Like one of those like tech-driven real estate brokerage and home search sites. It just released its list of hottest neighborhoods in America. And three of its top 10 are right here in our backyard. Any guesses? All right. First one, stand up and cheer, Steve's Graffiti. Oak Creek, West Bend, and then Menominee Falls. A pretty impressive showing for those three communities. That puts the Milwaukee metro area on the same national heat map as Tampa's booming suburbs. You know, Florida continues to grow for sure. And New York's in-demand bedroom communities like New York, still growing in all the boroughs for sure. The full top 10 list from Redfin, Land O'Lakes and Plant City in Florida, Oak Creek and West Bend in Wisconsin, Oceanside and Little Neck in the New York area, Lincoln Park and Howell in Michigan, Lee's Summit in Missouri, and then our very own Menominee Falls. Good job, Menominee Falls. That rounds out the entire list. Redfin's analysts say that buyers are really chasing affordability, and that still speaks very true to the greater Milwaukee area. Our home prices, as much as they're increasing month over month, they're still more affordable as you compare it to a lot of the bigger suburban markets across the country. But people want to live close to big city entertainment and jobs, which downtown Milwaukee offers. So that's the story we're seeing that continues to play out in the greater Milwaukee and across the state of Wisconsin. Second up, I think I need to text our good friend Martin Moore about this one, that your ears may soon have eyes. This is something for the next edition of The Future of Almost Everything with Martin Moore for sure. Get this. Have you heard about this? Apple's AI-enhanced camera-equipped AirPods. Camera-equipped AirPods. Eyes in your ears are in the late stage of testing. A lot of entities, including Bloomberg, reporting this week. AirPods with little cameras. So the wearable AI race, it's truly on. Everyone's looking, how can we get a leg up in terms of putting devices on our bodies that monitor, that see, that experience everything that we do across the day. Camera-enabled AirPods and smart glasses are at the top of this list, but Apple is now saying, all right, our major brand, if you take just the market share of AirPods, it's a huge business. People love AirPods. They look great. They feel great. They work well. So they're going to add a little addition to the stem that's going to compete directly with Meta and OpenEye on the hardware side, but create a little mini camera in your ear. And that camera is going to associate with AI to show you what is around you, to really give you that sense of wearability without having to wear some kind of headset or some kind of glasses to already extend on something you're comfortable with, and that's the AirPod. So wearables, yes, they have to look good. AirPods do exactly that. And if the AirPods with little mini cameras are priced right, this is going to be the future of hearing and seeing together. Coming up next, we're going to explore the future of nursing through a very local lens.
It's time for Marquette on the Move with Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayun on The Upswing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is National Nurses Month, and locally, this year also marks 90 years of Marquette University's College of Nursing, the first four-year nursing program in the state of Wisconsin. That legacy isn't just history, though. It's kind of the shaping of pediatric care and what it feels and looks like right now with collaboration between Children's Hospital and Marquette University, a true partnership where education and healthcare are really locking in together in a new way. Joining us in studio, I always love these segments. Marquette on the Move, Dr. Kimo Ayun, president of Marquette University, who's also joining the Children's Board this month. Gil Perry, the president and CEO of Children's Hospital. Gil, appreciate your time. And Madeline Schmidt, the assistant dean for undergraduate programs at Marquette's College of Nursing, helping to lead the way for all the undergraduate programs during its 90th year. Let's start with a connection point, Dr. Ayun. You are joining the Children's Board this month. What does that signal about the partnership between Children's and Marquette University?
Well, I mean, first, it's the partnership between Gil and I. I respect and admire his leadership so much. That's one of the ways to be able to kind of connect it. You know, from a university to a hospital perspective, we think about all of our students, and many of them, when I talk to them, they want to go and graduate and work with children. This is just one way to make sure we continue to have a really strong connection because our missions are aligned.
Yeah, and when you look at 90 years of the nursing school on campus, how central is Children's to that legacy?
Yeah, very central. Children's Hospital was once on Marquette's campus, and so we're connected in that way, but we're connected through all of the legacy students that continue to go in. You know, we just had commencement on Saturday. There were students telling me that they were going to work at Children's,
yeah.
But that goes back, you know, people that have graduated 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. Gil, can you give us a real person example? You know, you don't have to name names if you want, but really, we're a great nurse has changed that moment and that outcome for a child?
Well, first of all, the Marquette nurses that we have are amongst the best. We have 2,000 nurses working at Children's Wisconsin that literally trained at Marquette, and because of them, we're able to keep kids healthy. So we're grateful for our partnership. I'll give you an example. And most people think about nurses for the clinical work that they do, which is so important. Mm-hmm. The technical work is unbelievable. But we had a pre-organ transplant patient who needed to get up and out of the bed and walk around. She was refusing. So the nurse came up with a fishing pole exercise where she literally created a fishing pole, and she had a little Cheeto hanging at the end, and she had our pet therapy dog walking after the Cheeto, and for that reason the patient got out of the bed.
Wow.
And couldn't wait to do it. The innovation, the thought, the understanding of what a child really needs, and by the way, the child is doing much better as a result.
Nice,
so
nice.
One small example of how the innovation at Marquette's really helping kids.
It's truly that empathy component, that human component that goes into all of our jobs, but nursing fundamentally, for sure. Your predecessor, Peggy Troy, was a Marquette nursing alum who led Children's for many years. How does that shared history make the 90th anniversary even more special for Children's and Marquette?
When I got here, I learned that Marquette was our pipeline for nursing, period. And so Peggy, and not only Peggy, but the School of Nursing, everybody really shared how connected that was. But what really, really mattered to me is my third week on the job, I was walking down the hall and I saw a bunch of nursing students. I didn't know which school they were from. Mm-hmm. I sat down with them for like 5 minutes, just introduced myself, wanted to hear from them. The way they engaged, their attention to detail, the questions they asked, I turned to the left and they said, oh, that's clearly Marquette nursing. And so there's a level of nursing excellence that is trained here at Marquette that is very obvious when you walk through the halls. And so we're going to continue that. We have big plans to grow Children's Wisconsin, and Marquette will be a big part of it.
Great. And I look forward to hearing about some of those plans a little bit later in the show. Madeline, can you paint the picture for us a bit in terms of a Marquette nursing student walking into Children's for a clinical? You know, what do they see? What are they responsible for? And what really sticks with them from a student standpoint today?
So what they see the tiniest of humans, they see the most vulnerable of our population, and they see scared parents. And what they're responsible for is really to be there for the patient, but also the whole family. I think what sticks with them most is that the pediatric population is very complex. They face many issues, including mental health challenges, birth defects, injuries, and what these nursing students can provide is very valuable.
Yeah, it's really that full whole child family approach, right? When you look at, and you obviously, you got to read the history books to see the full 90 years, but what's the biggest shift that you've seen, Madeline, in preparing nurses today versus maybe 5 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, so I think 90 years of impact demands that we combine flexibility, agility to change with the times, with really an unyielding set of values. Our core principles haven't changed: critical thinking, courageous leadership, social justice champions, but how we practice them and what they mean has changed with the times.
And we're going to talk about the kind of the rising demand for nursing across the entire country, but when you look at, you know, a pipeline and responsibilities, in terms of students walking in, what are their expectations today and what really surprises them, maybe even from a first-year standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think students walk in thinking nursing's easy, and then they realize it's actually complex. The coursework is rigorous, and it's hard to build a relationship with a patient. That takes time, it takes care and patience. But once they've found that way to connect and they can see that empathetic relationship that nursing is, it really just gets better and better over time.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to explore career-wise what's new and exciting and full of innovation in the nursing field. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Dr. Kimo Ayoun, Gil Perry, who's the CEO at Children's Wisconsin, and Madeline Schmidt from Marquette's College of Nursing. Let's keep talking about nursing from a career standpoint, Dr. Ayoun. There's a lot of buzz right now. I'm seeing it in all the business publications. Nursing, one of the smartest, most stable career paths. I've actually heard it. I was at hospital recently. All the nurses were saying how important the longevity was for them. But you're seeing the demand, well over 180,000 openings nationally across the country. And in Wisconsin, Concordia is expanding. UW has already scaled statewide. There are a lot of pushes for additional faculty. Why is nursing from a strategic standpoint so important at Marquette? And what do you see for growth, Kimo?
Yeah, so I'd say two things. I think, obviously, first thing, from a demand perspective, more and more students are coming and want that experience. And in fact, recently, we saw so much demand that we had to increase our classes to be able to meet it. But the more important thing is it's about the mission, right? We're called to serve others, men and women, for and with others, being in service to other people. And nothing strikes to the heart of our mission as does the nursing profession, because that's at the ground level of really making an immediate impact on the lives of others, improving it.
Yeah. I mean, Madeline, how do you make the case for a high schooler or a college student listening? You know, why nursing? Why right now?
I think one thing is that there's meaning. Research has consistently shown us that Gen Z and youth in general are feeling disconnected from other people, and they want to find a purpose to their life. And nursing is a way to be that person for and with others, particularly when you're educated at a Jesuit university. Another is economic security, not only job safety, but it's a good salary. There's career advancement possibilities. It's a pretty solid return on investment. Nursing is also an agile career. You can be influenced in the public policy space. You can do research. You can teach. There's pathways into healthcare administration. So you're positioned really well to do a lot beyond the bedside, if that's what your aims eventually are, or to go deeper into bedside nursing and seek out graduate education if you want to go down that path instead.
And as a son of a nurse, it is also, I'd say, maybe even more so than other careers, true lifelong learning, because you never stop being a nurse no matter what, even if you left the hospital or left the doctor's office. Madeline, I wanted a quick follow-up from your lens. May is also Mental Health Month. How do you prepare students realistically without maybe scaring them away from some of the aspects of the profession, especially also when, you know, burnout is real in the medical profession?
So we look at that as a two-pronged approach. We have real insight into what nursing is going to be like, but we also combine that with an emphasis on self-care in our classes. Through our clinicals, our simulations, students get a feel of what nursing is like to be sure that that's the lifestyle they thought it would be. And if it is, then we really build in that self-care into the spaces that we have in our building, like respite rooms or wellness spaces. We encourage all of our students to use the Marquette wellness spaces around campus that focus on their physical and mental health. We also provide holistic advising because we understand that college is challenging, and we want to make sure to be asking those questions like, how are you caring for yourself, to show students that their overall well-being is really important to us. These are profession-wide changes that are needed, like things like staffing levels, caregiver support, but we're pushing for those types of changes every way we can through research and advocacy.
Yeah, I really like that you mentioned that. The placemaking and design from a hospital and medical standpoint is so very important, you know, what a space feels like. And Gil, what are you seeing specifically in terms of really protecting nurses and the mental health and keeping the profession lively and stable?
We think what we hear from our nurses is they want an environment where they're feeling supported and that they have psychological safety to be able to express themselves while they care for others. The profession requires such a technical expertise and a compassion expertise and an environment where they can thrive. And so at Children's Wisconsin, we have a one-team culture, which means that we are all on the same team. It doesn't matter what your badge says for your title perspective. We're all there to support each other. And when we talk about Nurses Week, obviously we're celebrating nurses, but all those who enable them to be successful.
Yeah. And you talk often about, you know, caring for the whole child. I mean, what are you seeing there in terms of the biggest needs for the entire family and for patients?
Increasingly, mental and behavioral health is becoming more and more of a challenge for families. Unfortunately, 1 in 5 high school kids have contemplated suicide in the last 7 months. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that this situation is unfortunately impacting more and more families, and our training continues to educate nurses on how to deal with mental and behavioral health conditions. But we also see nurses leaving the field because of it, because that's not what they signed up for. Mm-hmm. They were trained in medical or surgical or acute care, and mental behavioral health is a new skill set. So we're working as hard as we can to support them in that space.
When we come back, I want to talk about AI and the future of nursing and what the continued collaboration between Marquette and Children's Hospital looks like. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It is National Nurses Month, and locally we're celebrating 90 years of Marquette University's College of Nursing. Joining us in studio, Dr. Kimo Ayoun, president at Marquette University, Gil Perry from Children's Hospital, and Madeline Schmidt, the assistant dean for undergraduate programs at Marquette's College of Nursing. I want to talk about the future of the profession a little bit. Obviously, you can't really say future of any career in 2026 without talking about technology, especially AI. But, of course, it's still about showing up bedside and behind the scenes every day. But, Gil, as you're in policy conversations, if you could get to one thing that you'd like to see done at the state level in the next couple of years for kids' health, What would it be? And is it around technology and AI?
I think enabling technology to help those who care for kids as well as kids' outcomes is going to be really important. I think Wisconsin and Milwaukee have an opportunity to lead in that space because we know that if we can take 20% of a nurse's time that is lower level work that they don't necessarily need to be spending time on, and they can spend that with each other or the patients or with their family at home, that's going to be a better use of their time than what AI can do on their behalf. And so that's definitely one. And then reimagining the pediatric mental and behavioral health ecosystem is going to be a big focus for us. We have to do better for these kids.
Yeah. What's one thing from a nurse's perspective that is done differently today because of technology? Is it patient reports? Is it note-taking? Is it post-care? Like, what's just dramatically different in the last 2 years?
Yeah, AI is moving really fast. And so right now they're taking some of those tasks that used to take a lot of time to put data into the EMR, and they're creating smart phrases and ways that you can get your work done in a much more seamless manner. Increasingly, you're going to be able to hear augmented listening, which means that they're going to be able to actually take notes for you, and then the nurse just spends time editing those notes versus actually drawing up the notes. And in the future, we're going to be getting in the predictive space where they're going to be able to identify data and help the nurse make even more informed decisions than they ever have before. So again, if we can take some of the time and energy it takes to care for patients away from the nurse, she can spend more time with the patient.
Yeah. Madeline, what are you seeing in terms of in classroom interacting with AI? Is it documentation tools? Is it simulations? Is it virtual care? What do the students really want to lean into?
Well, I think what students are seeing in the clinical spaces, they're increasingly exposed to things like remote patient monitoring, AI-assisted triage systems, predictive analytics, and telehealth. But rather than replacing nursing judgment, these technologies are really teaching students how to interpret the AI-generated recommendations but still be able to assess the whole patient.
What makes someone AI-ready yet still deeply human in terms of how they care for patients, Madeline?
Well, what I think keeps nursing deeply human is that patients, they don't need just accurate data. They need trust, empathy, advocacy, cultural sensitivity, emotional presence. And so the nurses who are going to thrive in the future are those who can balance both worlds, being technology confident enough to work alongside AI, but yet grounded in their compassion, their ethics, and that desire for that human connection to know when a patient really requires more than just an algorithm.
Yeah. And Kimo, I always appreciate your insights on the guardrails in terms of thinking when it comes to technology from the holistic lens of the university. But what are you thinking in terms of healthcare specifically for guardrails around technology?
Yeah, I think about technology in the health space. We have to continue to educate people to make sure they understand they're thinking, feeling, caring individuals. So, you know, there's a human element in verification of everything. So how do we make sure people understand that that verification process? Because AI works well when you already start with a base of knowledge. It's when you lack that base of knowledge and you assume what is given you is true. You have to be that check on AI.
Yeah.
I think the second piece that I think about is, you know, we are concerned with bias in systems, and you need someone to be able to, like, stop and ask, is there any sort of bias that's being created? You know, what's the guardrail to be able to prevent that? And that's why I appreciate a Marquette education, because it's about creating someone who's being thoughtful and moving forward.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Gil, I wanted to dive into a couple of the community programs at Children's Wisconsin. You just received $1 million gift from Kohl's. What does this enable the hospital to do? I'm sure you receive gifts all year round, but, you know, specifically from another civically minded company in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, Kohl's has been a phenomenal partner to Children's Wisconsin over the last 25 years. They've donated more than $25 million to Children's. And so some of the things we've been able to do with that, those resources, is to create a mental health walk-in clinic. And we now have three of them, thanks to Kohl's, where instead of going to the emergency department, if a child is having a mental health challenge, they go to this walk-in clinic. We have one in Milwaukee, one in Kenosha, now one in Green Bay. And they're staffed with mental health professionals. You're not sitting next to a medical or surgical complex patient just for those kids. They also support our Child Life and Expressive Therapies team, where we can wrap around services to provide kids with an experience where they can get through whatever they're getting having to do at the hospital. So the generous donations from Kohl's and the community allows us to do what we do. A lot of what we do, we don't get reimbursed for. And so the community is critical for us to be able to say yes to do more for kids.
Yeah, and providing those tools, for the entire family. You also, I love this story, and I'm really looking forward to it. The Ryan Seacrest Foundation selected Children's to create the Seacrest Studio, about 1,200 square feet, multimedia studio right in the hospital lobby. I think it's coming in 2028. How did that happen? And just kind of walk us through the process and what it will mean for patients.
Yeah, Seacrest, Ryan Seacrest has been really generous. He has 16 studios in some of the top children's health systems in the country. And when I got here, I had been at a place where he had one before, and I saw the impact. It literally transforms the way kids bring joy while they're in a very difficult setting. And so reached out to him and his sister Meredith and Nicole and at the Ryan Seacrest Studio, and we put a bid out there. And so they came and did a site visit. And so this studio is going to be a creative outlet for kids, literally bringing joy to sometimes the most devastating days of kids' lives. The content is then able to stream to all the different rooms within the hospital, as well as to our Fox Valley location through all our 49 sites. We have content. And then we have local celebrities that come by and do shows with the kids and round with the kids and with our team members. And so we're just excited about the innovation that we're going to be able to bring and really transform the experience.
Really, I mean, every company's a media company, but when you can create a truly meaningful media company for patients and broadcast that to everyone, that's really important.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about graduation, Dr. Ayoun. There's some new lettering on campus that I saw as I went down 12th Street recently. And then I kind of do want to do a final lightning round for all of you as we wrap up. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to WTMJ. It is National Nurses Month, also celebrating 90 years of Marquette University's College of Nursing. But last weekend on campus, well, actually at Fiserv, but all across campus, actually I was driving through. It's always great to see so many graduates and their family strolling campus. It was a really nice day last Saturday too, Dr. Ayoun. I want to get your reflections on the graduation ceremony.
Yeah, you know, graduation ceremony was great. And one of the things about this class, it's our first post-COVID class without campus restrictions.
Okay.
And so it was a different energy, kind of sense of connection with them. They drove a lot of community service. You know, under their guidance, we finished number one in the country in community service the last couple of years. Just a tremendous time to be with family and friends.
Yeah. Do you remember your graduation commencement speaker, Kimo?
You know, that's been 40 years ago. So I do not.
You know? Okay. I mean, I had to look in the archives to see who my speaker was in 1991 at Marquette. It was James Coleman, economist. But then my next year, it was Barbara Bush. So I missed one year seeing the First Lady speak. Gil, do you remember yours?
Maya Angelou.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing.
Superstar.
Yeah. Never forget
all
that.
Right. Madeline?
Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers did Marquette as well. I remember that. Yes. Wow. That's some good celebrity commencement speaking. All right. Dr. Ayoun, I saw something new on campus last weekend when I was there. New Marquette letters were installed, I believe, on the corner of 12th and Wisconsin Avenue. Really creates this new, like, vibrant visual landmark. Talk about that and just kind of the upkeep of campus. And I talked about it earlier, but how important design and placemaking are.
Yeah. So first of all, we're trying to suck the students off of 12th Street because they want to get the iconic Jesus picture.
Okay.
We always worry about cars coming through. Yeah. Could we pull them to the side?
Okay.
But I will tell you, I still go on that street and take pictures with our students. but it you know, it's like anything. It's about placing for our students, another way to get identity, multiple places across campus that are seen for being able to kind of take pictures. You know, students coming in, we want them to take the picture, you know, when they're visiting campus and take it again in their regalia.
Yeah. You want to create those Instagrammable moments no matter where you
Absolutely.
Are, right? That's what it's all about. All right. I wanted to, since we have such amazing, passionate people, you're all in the business of health and well-being, I want to talk a bit about how you actually live it each and every day and give people some tips and some further insight. Madeline, we'll start with you. I want to get like a personal kind of non-medical prescription, if you will, for living the good life right now. What are you doing? What are you reading? Are there like daily practices in your life that I can take into my own life?
Good question. I think finding that work-life balance is really important. I enjoy being outside as much as I can. We have a dog, and I love to take her for a walk. But this summer, I'm really hoping to get to the library and get a couple of good beach reads and just spend some time sitting out in the patio reading a good book.
Okay, I got this book for my mom for Mother's Day. It's called Theo of Golden. Put it on your list. That's my recommendation. Amazing. I'm not even going to tell you what it's about because it is going to hit you on every level. It's a wonderful novel, and it's going to be a great movie when they make the movie. Gil, what's a small habit that's made your day-to-day CEO life better?
I'm big about routine for exercise, so 5:30 every morning, I'm on with Peloton. I have my favorite instructors there. Keep me going. I'm a morning exercise person. And then really making sure I stick to my parameters. And so obviously I work hard, put a lot of hours in, but there's certain times where I need to be at home with my family, and those are non-negotiable. And so balancing those.
How do you take regular breaks during the day? I'm always interested in that, like, you know, deep work for 30 minutes and then a 5-minute walk, or like, how does that work?
That's definitely an opportunity for me. but we do have block time on my calendar to be able to think and catch up on things. We call it yellow pad time because my follow up list is on a yellow pad, and so we try and stick to that as much as we can.
Kimo's got blue and gold time on his calendar, yes, I think. Yes.
I just went on a blue and gold walk on Thursday.
Ooh, okay, nice. Do you do those regularly on campus? Is that in your schedule throughout the day?
Not regularly scheduled, but occasionally scheduled.
All right. Yeah. Very good. All right. Finally, I want a guilty pleasure. I mean, when you maybe are going to abandon some of the health and wellness advice that is all truly important. But you know what? We got to continue to live good lives. We got to always be on the upswing. Madeline, give us your fun guilty pleasure.
I do love a good Cheeto. I'm a salty over sweet girl, so I try to not stock them in the house because they will be gone.
Okay, all right. Well, they're making those naked Cheetos now without any of the dyes or the bad stuff in them, so maybe put that on your list. All right. Gil?
Warm chocolate chip cookie every time.
Oh, nice. I love it. Kimo?
Cops custard.
Cops custard. What's your favorite flavor?
Ultimate chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh, nice. I'm a Blue Moon, and Blue Moon doesn't come around much.
Once in a Blue Moon.
Very good. All right. Kimo Ayoun, Gil Perry, Madeline Schmidt, I really appreciate the conversation and your time today, and we'll see you again very soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, always keeping my eye on what's new and exciting in downtown Milwaukee. The Pew Charitable Trusts just dropped a new report called the Remote Work Challenge, and they provided lessons from 5 different communities and cities. They looked at Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Denver, and yes, Milwaukee, trying to understand the rise of remote work and how empty office buildings are straining city budgets and downtowns. Now, this is really interesting because they really took the thought that cities are struggling and wrestling with the so-called doom loop, that fear that declining office values really lead, of course, and they do, to less tax revenue, which leads to cuts in services and makes cities less attractive and accelerates decline. And you don't want that happening, especially in downtowns. But here's the headline, and here's the really good news for Milwaukee in this report. Milwaukee was the only city of these 5 that were studied whose downtown leaders viewed their neighborhood as performing well. Now, there's always a caveat, right? Even with downtown performing well, Pew studies offer a useful checklist for Milwaukee leadership moving forward. And I just want to cite 3 of these. First, you really got to continue to convert offices to housing. Every city in this study is betting on office to residential conversions to future-proof their downtowns. Milwaukee's doing that too. Second, you got to watch the slow-moving clock on property taxes. And this Pew study really warns that the office vacancies has a dramatic effect on property tax revenue, and they're delayed by years, making those assessments lag, and they extend and pretend. by the banks kind of masking how far the office values have actually fallen. So Milwaukee leaders shouldn't assume that the modest effects seen here are going to be a final answer, because they're just not. You got to find a way to keep an eye on property taxes. And third, you have to advocate for state flexibility. Each one of these regions and cities studied say, you know what? The structural dependence on state decisions remains. The report is a reminder that Milwaukee's fiscal future is shaped as much in Madison as it is right downtown here on Water Street or right here at the Third Street Market Hall. The state and the cities, especially the largest city in our state, have to work together. The national fear was that remote work would hollow out American cities. It just really hasn't happened. But you got to do the creative work to keep downtowns alive and vibrant. And I'm pretty sure that Milwaukee is going to make that happen. Finally, I want to wrap up today's show with a little additional talk on health and wellness. I had my annual physical recently. You get about, 30 to 45 minutes with your doctor. And I'm not going to lie, we spent 25 of those minutes talking about sports and life and family. And no complaints there, because that's part of relationship building with your doctor. But the rest of the visit, we went through all my blood work, went through all the labs. I'm not going to deep dive into all the numbers for you, but, you know, I'm pretty proud of myself. I did the good work. I ate a lot of oatmeal. I got my cholesterol numbers way down. It felt, at least for me, like, wow. Good job, Jeff. Tangible proof. You worked on the exercise and you worked on the diet. So my annual physical is a reminder to everyone that you got to know your numbers. Know the blood pressure. Know the cholesterol. Know the blood sugar. Know all of that. Your annual physical really matters. And everyone that we just talked to says exactly that. From the nursing profession, get in there, get the tests done, make the appointment. Even if nothing is nagging at you, maybe there's something going on. But no matter what, you got to know the numbers. So get in, do that annual physical, get all the blood work done, dump it into your phone so you know those numbers. And if you got to work on something, you do the work. But you also relationship build with your doctor, just like you do with your banker. You sit down and you talk and you analyze and you find ways to move everything forward and make your life all that much better. Next week, we'll be back. Good discussion with Girls on the Run and much, much more. A friendly reminder, you can get all past episodes of The Upswing and every show on WTMJ at WTMJ.com or whatever podcast platform you use.